Wednesday, what is the date? May 29th, 2019, afternoon session of the Portland City Council. I'm looking at a blue screen. Carla, what are you looking at?
We've got the TV up here.
Okay, good. Then we'll just continue. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish.
Here.
Hardesty. Udalee. Fritz.
Here.
Wheeler.
Mayor, thank you for announcing it's May 29th. I need to text my sister. It's her birthday.
Very good.
Coming here.
Very good. Don't forget that. And Wheeler is here as well. And now we'll hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. If it does not, you may be ruled out of order. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you're a lobbyist. If you are representing, an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you're in the audience and would like to show your support for something that it's said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Please remain seated in council chambers unless entering or exiting. If you are filming the proceedings, please do not use bright lights or disrupt the meeting. Disruptive conduct such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest or trespass. Thank you for helping your fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Thank you very much. And before we jump in, I want to thank Commissioner Udalee for presiding over this morning's meeting in my absence. Chief Outlaw and I were at Park Rose High School giving a commendation for bravery to Coach Keenan Lowe. He was the individual intervened a few weeks ago in what could have been a potentially very deadly situation at Park Rose High School. And I felt that it was important that I be there for that acknowledgement and to also acknowledge both the respect and the appreciation of the community at large. So Commissioner Udalee, thank you for doing that.
My pleasure.
The first item will be item 503. If you could please read that, Carla.
Authorize 8 grants for the workforce training and hiring program to local pre-apprenticeship programs with a total value of $68,586.
Very good. Colleagues, the ordinance authorizes 8 grants from the city's workforce training and hiring program. The workforce training and hiring program focuses on expanding economic opportunity for minority and women workers in the construction trades. It's one of a number of ways that procurement services is working to increase diversity and advance equity in the contracting field. The 8 organizations supported through these grants provide apprenticeship and employment opportunities to young women and youth from communities of color to build a strong pipeline of talent in the construction industry. The grant recipients include Constructing Hope Pre-Apprenticeship Program, Portland Youth Builders, Pacific Northwest Carpenters Institute, Portland Community College Foundation, Portland Opportunities Industrialization Center, POIC, Multnomah County School District, number 1, Columbia County School District, number 502, and Oregon Tradeswomen. This program is an outstanding example of how the city partners with our nonprofit and business communities to achieve our shared goals of increasing economic opportunity and prosperity from all Portlanders. This is a second reading. I understand that Commissioner Hardesty had wanted this to be heard in public because it is something very positive, so we pulled it off the consent agenda. She could not be here this afternoon, but I know she's here in spirit. I don't know if anybody else has anything on this particular item. Very good. Carla, please call the roll. This is a second reading.
Fish.
Aye.
Udalee.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted, and we're very grateful to our community partners for their hard work on this issue. Here. Commissioner Fish.
Before we go into our agenda, and in light of the fact that we're going to have a late night
Can I just get some clarification? Have we lost, has our system gone upside down since this morning? Because right now we don't have anything on our screens.
I think he's working, the IT is working on it.
I think it's possible we'll have some PowerPoints this evening or at least some documents, and it's just vitally important that we get this right. And I'm a little perplexed as to how some from this morning until this afternoon this could go sideways. It's not directed at you, Carla. You're not the IT person. But do we have an insight into why this isn't working?
Is there a 14-year-old in the audience? That's always my first go-to.
Did you try turning it on and off and turning it back on?
Well, we'll have this looked at, and it sounds like there's
troubleshooting after the session to make sure that it's all up and running.
All right, cool, good. I agree with Commissioner Fish. It sounds like for tonight we'll definitely need this up and running. So if IT could get on that, we'd appreciate it very, very much. Item number 511.
Revised residential solid waste and recycling collection rates and charges effective July 1, 2019.
Colleagues, the next ordinance is to adjust the monthly rates for collection of residential garbage, recycling, and composting. I'd like to add an emergency to this item. This item has been rescheduled on two separate times, and now there's concern with the implementation date as the new rates need to be in place by July 1st, 2019. Can I get a second, please?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Carla, could you please call the roll on the emergency?
I'm sorry. We also have a substitute that came first. So I don't know. We should move the substitute first.
Okay,
and then
first
amend
let's
it
do the substitute. So I withdraw my motion. Could we please get a motion on the substitute?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Please call the roll on the substitute.
Fish?
Aye.
Udaley?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Substitute's on the table. Back to my motion to add an emergency clause.
Thank you.
I move it.
Second.
I have a second. Please call the roll on the emergency.
Fish?
Aye.
Udaley?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. So we now have a substitute on the table as an emergency. If you'll remember, this is an annual process in which the city helps facilitate a review of the rates associated with these services. The city of Portland is committed to acting as a leader in the composting field, and our residents are recycling and composting over 60% of their waste, which is almost twice the national average, something that we can all be proud of. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has thoroughly reviewed the costs associated with garbage, recycling, and composting collection and is proposing a monthly rate increase of 75 cents per month for most partners. Customers. If there are partners, that's your own business. Bruce Walker and Arianna Sperry from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability are here to share the findings from this year's garbage and recycling rate review. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. I'm Bruce Walker. I'm the Solid Waste Recycling Program Manager. I work in the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. With me is Arianna Sperry, who led our rate review process for the residential garbage recycling and composting collection system this year. You may recall that last fall, she brought before you the waste equity work plan that was adopted, and so she's a critical leader on our team. First of all, I'd like to thank you for dealing with the substitute ordinance as well as the emergency clause. That's important to get this through so we can make proper notification of all our partners and customers. Today, we're here to share our proposed rates. As a reminder, curbside collection includes single-family homes and duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. Collection services are provided by private haulers franchised by the city who do an excellent job in provision of this service. The city does not set rates for multifamily properties or businesses. The rate-making process includes an independent CPA review of hauler financial records and review by the Planning and Sustainability Commission. We examine all the factors that affect the cost of providing service, including labor, equipment, and fuel costs, the average weight of garbage in each size, can size, and disposal charges for garbage and composting. You'll recall that last year, when we were here, the recycling markets were a critical driver in the rates. We ask you to expedite the rate review process to account for the worldwide drop in recycled materials prices and increased processing costs at recycling sorting facilities. Council adopted a hefty rate increase of $2.55 per month. Almost all of that went to truing up costs for managing our recycled materials. While recycled prices remain very poor, the good news is they haven't worsened since last year. Also, more recyclables are being used by manufacturers in the United States. For example, there's 3 paper mills in Oregon and Washington that take cardboard on a regular basis, and the glass plant located out by the airport where old bottles are recycled into new bottles. As the mayor mentioned, Portland is a leader in recycling in this country, and this is a very important issue to BPS. We remain very engaged, and I sit on the State Department of Environmental Quality's Recycling Steering Committee that's working through a range of these issues regarding markets and recyclable materials. And as you know, we work to provide good messaging to Portland residents and businesses. We want them to know that their materials are getting recycled and they're made into new products. They're not being thrown away. As a reminder, it's important to know that follow the recycling list and only put items in the blue recycling cart that are allowed in the program. That means leave out the takeout, no cups, lids, straws, no takeout containers. In order to continue marketing our recycling, we all need to recycle the right materials. Now I'd like to turn it over to Arianne to walk through the results of this year's rate review.
Thank you, Bruce. For the record, I'm Arianne Sperry with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And here are this year's key rate drivers. Hopefully you can see this on your screen. If not, I'll walk through it for you. The largest is an increase in Metro's tipping fee for managing yard debris and food scraps. Another factor new in this year's rate review is the Portland Clean Energy Fund 1% revenue surcharge approved by Portland voters last November. 3 franchised haulers that serve about half the customer base are likely subject to the clean energy surcharge. The revenue division hasn't posted the final administrative rules yet, but we expect them very soon. Portland haulers requested an exemption that was granted to other utilities, but in the draft administrative rules, the revenue division didn't include garbage and recycling collection in the definition of a utility, meaning the larger haulers are not exempt from the clean energy surcharge. So BPS has incorporated the surcharge into the proposed rates using the same methodology we do with other costs. It will be averaged into the rates and spread amongst all customers, adding about 20 cents to monthly bills. Other factors also pushing rates up are higher driver wages and inflation. But remember, the costs like inflation are added to the hauler's actual costs, not last year's rates. So if haulers operate more efficiently, we capture those efficiencies and we have a lower platform moving forward. And we did see hauler efficiencies last year. Those, as well as a drop in depreciation for the cleaner trucks haulers purchased over the last decade, are helping offset upward pressures on the rates. After we've determined the cost to provide each level of service, BPS has historically included small disincentive premiums on larger roll carts and small incentive discounts on the smaller garbage containers to help encourage waste reduction and recycling. Over time, those have grown in magnitude, and we're realizing that there are disadvantages to excessive disincentive premiums. They add cost to the system. There's also an equity component in that they penalize larger households. And finally, they discourage customers from right-sizing their garbage containers. To be clear, we're still very supportive of encouraging waste reduction and recycling using incentives and disincentives. This year, we're proposing to moderate the disincentive premiums placed on the larger garbage carts, both to standardize the increment between service levels and to make sure residents are able to move into the right size garbage container for their household's needs. We want to make sure that folks have room for all their garbage in their garbage container, rather than maybe doing some wishful recycling that contributes to contamination and makes it more expensive for us to process and market our recycling, especially now that the standards for recycling are higher. So here are the proposed rates. Most rates are increasing 75 cents a month. That's a 2.5% increase or slightly less than inflation. You'll notice the changes I mentioned relating to the disincentive premiums are reflected in the proposed rates for the 60 and 90 gallon roll carts. And that is the extent of our presentation today. And as a reminder, this is an emergency ordinance. We are seeking your approval today. And Bruce and I are happy to answer any questions now or following testimony.
Commissioner Udaly, do you have a question?
I do not. But thanks for asking.
Yeah, you bet. I have just sort of a couple of questions. And these are not highly technical questions. They're really just curiosity and customer service questions. If one wants to switch from one size to another, do you take the old garbage can back? And how do you do that?
So is it a... Great.
Wait, Commissioner Fritz has the answer.
Yeah,
we heard from
you just
her.
Contact your hauler, and they will bring you a new one and take the old one away.
Perfect. And a second question, are there weight limits on the amount of weight that you... I've seen... our poor trash haulers.
What are you trying to get rid of,
Mayor? it's not what, Chloe. It may be a who.
Exactly.
Are there weight limits?
That much.
Yes, there are.
Okay.
And so, and that's to limit. Those were established initially when haulers manually lifted the cans for a safety issue. Now the carts can hold more, but we still have limits on there in case it can sometimes cause the carts to pull apart when the arm grips it.
Okay, so. That makes sense. Very good. All right, thank you. I have no further questions. Those were my most interesting questions. Anybody else?
We appreciate Commissioner Fritz's accurate answer.
We got to have as much fun as we can with these items.
Absolutely.
I mean, my favorite remains the failing sewer pipes, but... trash hauling is close second.
Very good. Do we have public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, we do.
Very good.
We have Beth Vargas Duncan and Kevin Geiger.
Welcome. 3 minutes each, please. Name for the record, and the mics do slide around.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. I am Beth Vargas Duncan. I'm the regional director of Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association, and in that capacity, I am representing the Portland Haulers Association here today. The Portland Haulers members provide the residential solid waste and recycling commercial services within Portland. Commercial is separate, I want to be clear. Every hauler providing residential collection service in Portland is a member of the Portland Haulers Association. PHA members work cooperatively with the city's Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff to provide modern and efficient waste collection services that include garbage and recycling at reasonable rates, as we just noted through our rate review process. PHA members also work collaboratively with BPS staff and other stakeholders to advance opportunities for more diversity in the waste management industry. Some background. PHA greatly appreciates the city's expedited rate review action last year in response to the recycling market issues. The systemic impact on the market caused recycling costs to rise at record levels. And as you know, the haulers lost a significant amount of revenue in a short period of time because of the sudden shift in market. And your action was critical in stabilizing rates in a volatile system. Not every state or local jurisdiction in other parts of the country were as quick to respond, and it has caused some further disruption as a result. The conditions are still depressed in the recycling market values, as staff mentioned, and Oregon DEQ, in collaboration with processors, haulers, local governments, and other stakeholders, continue to identify methods to control costs, maximize recycling of material, and educate customers about recycling right. And in fact, I serve on one of the committees on engagement with that DEQ effort. Today, we support the rate adjustment city staff presented, and note our rate consultant, Kevin Ginger, will address the clean energy surcharge in his testimony. PHA agrees it's important to encourage customers to right-size their garbage carts for the needs of their family. This is particularly important as we respond to the recycling market changes and continue to educate customers in order to reduce contamination in the recycling stream as a part of our efforts to maximize our recycling. We have a call to action. We recognize that Oregonians continue to lead the nation in recycling and addressing recycling market challenges. We ask Portland residents to improve even more and seek the latest information of what's recyclable and what should be and should not be in your cart. Reduce, reuse, and recycle right. For many decades, Portland haulers have demonstrated a strong commitment to providing excellent service to the residents of Portland while also producing sustainable results and consistent operational safety. We look forward to partnering with the city in the future, and PHA appreciates the opportunity to serve Portland. We request that the council adopt the rates as presented today, noting Kevin has his comments on the CES.
Very good. Thank you.
Mayor, could I just
Commissioner
say
Daly.
Thanks for that. You noted that the conditions are still depressed in the recycling market. I have found that there is a belief in the community that everything's going to landfill and why bother recycling? So I want to give you this opportunity. this came up at President Peterson's Friday forum with the City Club, opportunity to explain that we are still, in fact, recycling the vast majority of what's coming through, and people should continue recycling and following the instructions provided.
Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Udaly, yes, you are correct that we are recycling a lot. If folks want specifics, DEQ has on their website a great source of information. So those companies that have received what's called a concurrence, there may be some items, it fluctuates, but it has stabilized, and there is a lot of recycling still going on. We're still collecting cardboard that they're commodities. The rate can be reduced, but it doesn't mean that it can't go to a market.
Great, thank you.
Ms. Duncan, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say you do a lot of testifying before the state. Is that right? Mm-hmm. State legislature?
Mayor Wheeler and Commissioner Fish.
You're making there's the answer.
I have a history of that, yes.
When we have our friends who come and testify regularly, who are used to regularly testifying before the legislature, they often come in and in response to a question, respond to the questioner
right.
and to the mayor the way I guess you do in Salem,
yes.
where you respond to the committee chair.
To be formal.
Well, it's nice, but it's a different protocol than we have, but it's one that I guess is very much part of Salem's tradition.
Right. I was a registered lobbyist in Salem in my previous position, so I have spent quite a bit of time testifying at Salem, but not in the last 2 years.
There you go. Thank you.
You know, I actually like it. I think it's nice. I appreciate the little special shout out as the presiding officer. It's
Thank
small
you, Mayor.
Compensation for the thrill and the joys,
well,
but
and,
it's always
And
worth
actually,
it. Thank you.
And I used to work for the City of Salem as a franchise and revenue administrator, so I've been in your staff's shoes for the City of Salem, and we did the same thing. So
interesting.
Well, Ms. Duncan, I just wanted to thank you. You're so faithful about being here whenever I know this hearing has been rescheduled and rescheduled and rescheduled, so thank you very much for being here when
thank you
actually get to talk.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah, it's good information that you bring forth. Good afternoon. See if you can follow that.
Oh, all right. She's been coaching me, so we'll see if I remember. Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and Council. I'm Kevin Ginger. I'm the rate consultant for the Portland Haulers Association. I'm here representing them today, and I'll be speaking to the rate review process and the possible application of the 1% clean energy surcharge to residential garbage and recycling rates.
And Kevin, just for the record, are yes. you a registered lobbyist as well?
No.
Okay, thank you.
I'm a CPA,
that.
But...
Okay, thank you.
Okay. So every year, the Portland Residential Service haulers engage in a robust rate review process. The haulers work cooperatively with the city's staff, and they provide detailed financial information. The city's rate consultant, along with an outside CPA, reviews the financial information and the rates to determine costs of service and then project those costs for the coming year. I, along with the haulers and the city staff, collectively discuss the calculations and the projections and try to ensure accuracy for both the haulers and the ratepayers. PHA believes that the rate review setting process is fair, with the right balance of independent review, transparency to assure reasonable rates for the haulers for the service that they provide to the Portland customers. On the clean energy surcharge, we presented testimony dated March 28th, 2019, and that's also attached to the packet that we turned in, on the draft administrative rules related to the clean energy surcharge. As we await a decision from the city, PHA asserts that the solid waste franchisees are, number one, not retail in the traditional sense. They're more similar to a utility, and we don't believe the residents expected that the CES would be applied to their garbage service rates. We are also already highly regulated by the city, paying franchise fees in order to provide services and comply with the city's clean fleet, carbon reduction standards, and other requirements. And we are regulated by the city, adding the CES will increase the residential rates about 20% as per the city staff's estimates. And that's 20 cents per month. There are 11 franchise haulers in Portland. Only three of them are subject to the CES. Adding 1% into the rates creates a 1% CES fee into the rates creates an imbalance and requires all residential customers to pay higher rates. PHA is concerned that adding the CES to the solid waste services increases rates, adversely impacting those least able to afford the fundamental services necessary for the protection of community health and human safety. PHA supports the efforts to improve opportunities for economic development in the city and invest in clean, green economy. We want to make sure, as this work advances and decisions about the CES are made, that the full context of its application specific to the residential waste management industry and our customers is known. As stated before, we remain available to discuss alternatives, ideas, and problem solve on this issue and any others that come before you related to the service for residents of Portland. Today, we have a call to action on this as well. PHA requests that the city exempt the solid waste services from the CES. Otherwise, PHA supports the rate increase as presented by staff today, and we look forward to continuing our partnership with the city. We appreciate the city's support of the haulers in maintaining affordable, safe, and reliable services.
Excellent, thank you. And I'll have staff come up in a minute just to clarify this point, but it's my understanding those clean energy fund rules are still in draft form. Mm-hmm. And so there was a discussion and then ultimately a decision to go ahead and include that now
right.
with the understanding that once the final rules are published, it may come back to the council for an amendment. So I think that is mm-hmm. where staff landed on that particular issue. Commissioner Fritz.
I'm not heavily engaged in the clean energy fund discussions, so I just learned about this today.
Oh,
I was
okay.
actually really pleased to hear that I'm going to be paying 20 cents more per month, and that, and also that your organization is going to be at the table and involved in how things move forward. I think, you know, clean energy is important to all of us, and if paying an extra 20 cents can help move the dial and do something for climate change other than taking the bus and, you know, all the other things that we try to do, I'm all for it. So I hear your concerns, but really, I'd really like you to continue to be at the table and continuing to help shape how that program moves forward.
Right. Thank you.
Very good. Was there more that staff wanted to contribute to that particular conversation? And Amanda, if you had thoughts as well, you're certainly welcome.
I believe you've...
Okay, great. Okay, good. All right. I was accurate, and you believe me. Those are two things I wish you'd said into the microphone. Very good. Any further discussion?
Do we have
thank you.
Other testimony?
That's all who signed up.
Great.
Well, I have a question of staff.
Sure. Commissioner Fish. Yeah, thank you very much, both of you.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Tube staff people could come back for a second. So my question is, our focus today is on setting the rates. But one of the things that's changed in the last year is that we've moved to a Sunday collection downtown. So we're collecting trash Sunday. And I guess, are either of you in a position to comment how that's going?
Yes, Commissioner Fish. So you're referring to the public trash cans that are located in downtown Portland. There's over 400 of them. And we, in fact, there's another 100 coming in the next 2 weeks as we locate those throughout the Old Town, Chinatown. And that is managed by our program in our bureau. A private collection firm picks it up. We work closely with Clean and Safe to assure that we minimize any problems in terms of litter, garbage collection, and it's that is progressing with, and my focus is on downtown, which was your question, but we're also planning to expand into East Portland. We've got, through the Waste Equity Plan, some seeking some new contractors to engage in collection of over 400 cans in East Portland that will be located and begin the collection program by the end of the year.
So I'm just going to offer an anecdotal observation. I don't have any hard data to back it up, but it feels like it's still a work in progress and that the collection of trash on Sundays is not consistent or we're not getting all of it. Do you have a comment to that?
We have had, Commissioner Fish, we have had some issues with some of the cans, or some of them are the solar compacting cans that have had some issues with performance, and we're replacing those with a new style can with the artwork that was presented by Portland Business Alliance. So we are working to replace some of the cans that are causing problems, but we're also working managing more tightly on the collection contract to assure that we make sure all the cans are collected. And I'm hearing you politely reference some issues that we can up the game, and that's part of our strategy that we're using going forward.
That's great, because you know it was actually, in retrospect, surprising we went so long without a Sunday pickup. And downtown is so vibrant on the weekends. And on a Saturday night, there's so many people downtown that on Sunday morning, when I often go, I live and work downtown, so I often go out and pick up bagels or run my son to a soccer practice or whatever. And it used to be very noticeable, the amount of trash that was left behind after a busy Saturday night. So it's, I think, really important that we stay on top of that. And I appreciate that you're working through any problems that exist, because otherwise what we have is a full day of dealing with of weekend trash, and it very much negatively, I think, impacts people's experience. So thank you.
Thank you.
Can you also give us an update on when will we have the recycling containers on the outside of those new bins?
Yes. Commissioner Fritz, we've experimented with those. For others who may not be aware of it, they're small, a shelf that allows someone walking down the street with a soda, for example, and leaves it behind in the recycling shelf. That has a deposit on it through Oregon's Bottle Bill. And that allows others to remove those rather than try to break into the cans, which has been a problem in some of the downtown so-called street furniture along the transit lines, the MAX lines, where those can be broken into as people go through to look for deposit containers. So we are putting those shelves on and intend to, we're bringing those on with the new can installations, and then we'll have those located on cans throughout downtown. The schedule is by fall, those will be in.
Great, thank you.
Very good. Any further questions?
Mayor Wheeler?
Yes.
May I expand on Commissioner Daly's question about recycling just for a moment?
Sure.
So your question was, you heard from people, gosh, all this recycling's getting thrown away. I saw a posting last night online that referred to some other cities where that's occurring. That is not happening here. It is not happening.
Thank you.
So what now, when materials get sent to a recycling sorting facility, part of their job is to sort out some of the items I mentioned, the straws, lids, leave out the takeout, all those things that aren't supposed to be in there. They have to sort it out. And where does that need to go? That goes to the landfill. Okay, so that's good. But the other recyclable materials that go to a paper mill, the glass plant, or metal recyclers, that's appropriately getting sorted out. They're having to do higher, more intense sorting because there's higher standards now with some of the international, and that's part of the cost that council adopted last year. So, but the reassurance needs to be for customers, do the right recycling, put the right items in there, it will get recycled.
I think that the news from China broke roughly around the same time that some local sites that were voluntarily taking, especially plastic recycling that we couldn't put in our bins, stopped doing that. So I feel like the combination of those two events really led people to believe, especially when it comes to plastics, that they're not being recycled, that they're going to the landfill. So thank you for clarifying that if it's an acceptable item, it is in fact being recycled. Thanks.
Thank you.
And Commissioner, I got a tour. Ms. Duncan put on a tour of a recycling sorting facility. It was absolutely fascinating.
Oh, cool.
So with your social media profile, I bet you if you were to do that and post it, it would really, it was very interesting and not at all stinky.
Thank you for that. Yes, that actually does sound weirdly fun. And I'd love to help kind of reverse that or correct the misunderstanding in the public, because it's still really important and we still do a lot of it.
That's great. And I also support Commissioner Udaly using her social media profile. I'm afraid if I used mine, I'd get 100 comments, people saying, well, you went and you toured the trash. Why don't you just stay there?
Oh.
All right. So any further questions? Carla, please call the roll on the substitute as amended.
Fish.
Well, thank you for an excellent presentation. Thanks for the invited testimony. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Fritz.
This is one of my favorite presentations of the year. With all due respect, Commissioner Daly, I think it's even more exciting. And all due respect to Commissioner Fish, I prefer it over those sewer pipe breakages. Thank you to the industry. It's really a well-regulated industry, and I'm very proud of what Portland does. There's not very many advantages to living by myself, but one of them is that I can put things in the right place in the recycling. And I've thought about you often as I throw things out. If in doubt, throw it out. And also the wishful recycling. Gosh, I really wish this could be recycled, but I know it can't be, so I'm going to, if in doubt, throw it out. So I hope that others look at these rates and realize, you know, the recycling is the big bins, and you can just keep going week after week after week, and same with compost, whereas the you're charged based on how much trash you throw out. So there's huge incentive for getting good at figuring out where things go and putting them in the right place. So thank you for all of your work that you do. Aye.
Udaly?
Well, thanks for the presentation and coming to give testimony. I'm only 5 foot two, so when I see something that doesn't belong in that recycling bin at the bottom of the bin, I think I proved my commitment to recycling by trying to fish it out. And I think I want to note if your item's food contaminated, not recyclable. Many frozen food containers are also not recyclable unless you see the little recycle symbol on it, because I know a lot of those end up having to be sorted at the facility. I'm pleased to vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, thank you, Bruce and Arianna, for coming here today and telling us a little bit more about how things are. And I want to thank our haulers for also being here and giving their perspective. And I just want to acknowledge this is one of those things that you don't hear much about unless things go horribly wrong. And in the last year and a half, 2 years, as Commissioner Fish had indicated, people are seeing more litter on the streets, and we have been very responsive to that by both increasing the number of receptacles, increasing the number of pickups throughout the city, working better with neighborhood associations and business district associations and others to try and address this issue. And while we're not completely there yet, I feel much better about where we are today than I did, say, a year ago. And I know that a lot of people in this room and a lot of people in the industry work very, very closely with our BPS staff to make this a reality. So thanks to all of you for that. I vote aye. The ordinance, substitute ordinance, is adopted as amended. And we are adjourned till 6 p.m.